As the group filed out of Chase's house, Bad stopped Alaric Mack and pulled him into an empty hallway. "Look, Mack," he whispered, "you and I are the only ones who can make this happen. There's an extra million in this for you if you can make sure we never go to trial. I want Chase to plead guilty." Alaric's eyes lit up like a new Bossier City casino. "So, you're offering me $2 million now?" Bat nodded. "'Cause consider that homeboy guilty as charged." Bat wasn't through. "Alaric, if Rebecca has remembered something, we may need to get her out of the picture." "Look here, Bat," Alaric Mack said with a finger pointed at the man's face. "I don't do no killing. I'm a lawyer. It violates my Hippocratic oaths." "Alaric," he said, placing his hand on Mack's shoulder, "isn't your mother in prison?" Mack stepped back. "Don't be talking about my mama," he said. Bat softened. "Look, Alaric, you take care of this little problem for me, and I'll see your mama doesn't spend another night in jail with all those big, bulky women who shop at Jay Riggins and watch ladies' tennis." Mack ran down the hall and out the front door. Try as she might, Rebecca couldn't remember anything. Her memory was a big, empty void, like a 20,000-seat arena during an Air Supply reunion tour. She was taking a walk through the children's ward when she saw a young boy playing with a small, wiry metal toy. She closed her eyes momentarily to try to recall what the toy was called. "Oh, yeah," she thought to herself, "it's a Slinky." Suddenly, an image popped into her head, an image as clear as a bell. If it was a really clear bell, although she didn't know why people said that, except that maybe they were talking about the sound of a bell and not the bell itself. She pictured herself wearing only a bright yellow raincoat, in bed with a man wearing only a Slinky. She tried hard to look up and see the man's face, but she could only get as far as his neck. Beneath the heavy razor stubble on this man's neck was a pimple with a hair growing out of it. And that pimple belonged to none other than Chase Manhattan. She was so excited about this revelation that she'd knocked the poor child over and run to the payphone at the end of the hall to call Detective Story. Exhausted, like a fat guy who just chased the Domino's pizza delivery guy to get his change back, she walked slowly to her room. To her surprise, she had a visitor. Sitting on her bed, watching Soul Train, was Chase's attorney, Alaric Mack. Mack had somehow beaten Detective Story to the hospital. He'd even had time to go home and change. He now wore a canary yellow tuxedo jacket with tails over a black Nike t-shirt. His pants were white silk and resembled the kind Barbara Eden would wear in I Dream of Jeannie. They were tight at the waist and ankles and large and blooming in between. His ensemble was topped off with a purple velvet hat sporting a long red feather.
"Hello, Rebecca," Mack said. "Thought I'd stop by and say goodnight. How's everything going, my sister?"
Rebecca couldn't wait to tell him about her memory recall down the hall. "Alaric, it's starting to come back," she said excitedly. "I've got some information now that I know could help Chase." Mack crossed his legs and stroked his black and red two-tone leather shoes, golf shoes only without the spikes.
"Rebecca," he said with a look of serious concern on his face, "you look tired. Why don't I give you something to help you sleep?"
He reached into his pocket and removed two tiny white pills.
"Why don't you take these? They'll help you get a good night's sleep and think more clearly in the morning."
Rebecca placed the pills on her tongue and then scooped them down her throat. Instinctively, she knew she shouldn't have swallowed them, but it was too late. Mack smiled, tipped his derby hat, and practically danced out of the room.